You're listening to the UConn Honors Podcast. My name is Mukund Desibatla, and I'm a double major in physiology and neurobiology and Spanish. I'm here with Vinayak.
Hello, everybody. This is Vinayak. I'm studying molecular and cell biology with a minor in Spanish as a junior.
So today, we are excited to welcome Ajita Chivukula, who is also a junior at UConn. This summer, she jumped on a really exciting research project in Danbury Hospital, where she introduced a program where CPR was taught to families in the community. Ajita, would you like to elaborate on your project?
Of course. So basically, there was a clinical research intern position offered at Danbury Hospital for which I applied, and they took me. And when they took me on, they kind of saw that I had prior CPR instructor experience, which I got at UConn, actually. And they said, so could you come down and kind of initiate a program for families of people in the cardiac wing who are more high risk and prone to cardiac emergencies? To which I said, of course, because I believe that CPR education is very pertinent and very necessary for the public, and providing it for free is just something that would really like impact the public. So yeah, I started it, I launched it, and it's going now.
That's really cool how you took the initiative to actually start this type of program at a large hospital like Danbury Hospital. I guess where I want to start at is like, how did you get involved with EMT? Kind of like, where did your this passion to like even teach it, or like where did you get this prior experience from before you were able to apply it to this new project?
Yeah, so back when I was in high school, my high school kind of offered an EMT program, mostly funded by the school. So it was very cheap for me to go in and get my certification at a young age. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was riding on ambulances. I signed on to the fire department at my town in Bethel, Connecticut. And after that, I came to UConn and I realized I didn't have that much time to really EMT at a fire department here at the same time take all my classes. Mm-hmm. So I saw UConn Rescue was a club that I could potentially join to, you know, kind of pursue my interests in that field. Right. So I saw that they offered a CPR instructor role where I could teach people how to do CPR. And I really like teaching people, and I think it's very necessary to teach the general public. So I went for it. And after that, I just, you know, it just kind of blossomed from there.
That's amazing that you saw this challenge in high school, but it aligned with your passion and you were able to challenge yourself. And now clearly you've handled a great initiative. And I have a question. Do you plan to return to Danbury Hospital in the next few summers and continue this program? Or if you can't work full time, serve at least as a guiding mentor?
Certainly. So actually, my research at Danbury Hospital is still ongoing. So when we go back for winter break, I'm going to be establishing more studies with more participants in more trials. And I have other people situated there continuing the program, and they're collecting data for me. So this is something that I'm thinking will be long term. And I hope that eventually, once I achieve the results of my research study and create a perfect education program for these people for free, that it will continue for the rest of Danbury Hospital's like standing. So yeah, I do plan on going back.
That's really interesting how even though you don't have time during the year, you kind of want to still go back winter break, Thanksgiving break, or even the continuing summers to kind of keep this project going. Would you mind explaining like exactly how this, I guess, course or like this project is being taught to like the families that are interested, or you trying to teach CPR to like the laypersons or like the general public, and why you think that's very important for society in general?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, the general CPR program that is taught to obtain certification by the American Heart Association is about 4 hours long. So
super short.
It's really short, right? You know, and typically when you're in the hospital and your loved one is in front of you in a hospital bed and a random volunteer comes up to you asking you for 4 hours of your time, mm-hmm. you're not going to want to leave your right. loved one's side and do that for 4 hours.
That's right.
So that's why this idea came about, to kind of create a shortened, abridged version of this program. And instead of having to pay for a certification, because it is about $40 at UConn or $80 outside, up to, you know, $120, depending on where you take it to get your certification, I wanted to offer it for free, so without certification. And that requires a good knowledge base of the instructor side themselves, so right. that they can teach the public, but at the same time, you would have that high retention rate, so they know what they're doing, mm-hmm. but 6 months down the road, a year down the road, so they don't forget. So that's where this kind of stemmed from. So what I created was a 30-minute abridged version of teaching CPR, which is based on the Heart Saver version of the American Heart Association. Mm-hmm. So what all these, and one thing to keep in mind is all of these patients' families are very, like, they're not young people. They're quite old. So to take that into account and have specific dummies for that reason and keep those dummies on the table, have feedback devices that are specific and less sensitive so that their confidence rate is increased, but they get real-time results. All that factors in. And eventually I created a program where it's just, you know, a 5-minute video, some of my explanation for about 15 minutes, and then 10 minutes of practice. And at the end, I give them a short survey or an exam to make sure that they know what they're doing.
I think it's truly phenomenal that you analyze the demographics of your hometown and acted as an agent of change. So you already noted that at UConn, you teach this course here too, or at least not the abridged version, the full version. Students have to pay. So what are your thoughts on this? Because you were able to put together a more abridged program, which was absolutely necessary in your hometown. But what are your thoughts about students that want to learn CPR but are not financially able to?
Right. So the basis behind paying for CPR certification is because there are two versions, the Red Cross and the American Heart Association. And one thing to keep in mind is they're both companies and they need money to continue paying instructors to be able to teach classes, money for supplies, money for books that we give out to students. So while it is necessary to pay and to keep the associations going, I do think that they are quite overpriced. And one thing I really appreciate about UConn's program that they offer to students, especially in the Department of Nursing and the Department of Physical Therapy, is we give a discounted rate of about $40, whereas in other locations, when you're trying to get your CPR certification, it's about $120. And if you want to go into the healthcare field, getting your certification is essential for CPR basic life support. So while I don't necessarily agree with the fact that we have to pay, I understand why it's necessary.
Do you think that it should be made free, or like there should be more options for people who cannot afford it, like the program that you created or like the programs that are available at UPI or UPenn? Do you think that kind of like CPR is also like very necessary for like the general public to know, because this kind of stuff happens all the time, and it could be like, you could be, if you know CPR, you could be kind of like the person who saves someone's life, right? So do you believe that it should be free, or like there should be other options in which you don't have to pay to get this kind of knowledge?
That's a really good question. So what these associations did was they created videos. So a lot of video-based learning that other people can watch if they're interested in their own time, which also comes at a cost. But at the end of the day, you can still obtain your official certification, right. But by watching the videos. And I've done studies on this. This was part of my research at the hospital, and it's not the best method. Mm-hmm. Having a more hands-on approach with someone there to guide you and put in their experience, like me as an EMT, I can say, I've done this on a human being before, and it's not this easy.
Right.
It's not going to be like this. And having that little bit of experience really makes a difference. So I really encourage other people out there, if you want to make a difference in your community, to go ahead, apply to be a CPR instructor. And if you want to make a difference in your community, take the knowledge that you've got and go find a program that you can implement it and, you know, make a difference in your local communities.
And, like, give back to the community, right?
Exactly.
That is really good advice, and I'm glad that you're able to provide such wise words. I do believe it is never easy to initiate. I think it's always, we think that if we join something that's pre-existing, it's always easier to conform. But you did something amazing, which was you took something that was really small or just like this idea and you materialized it. So often with these experiences, there are hindrances. And I was just wondering, what were some challenges that you faced in setting up this program?
Certainly. Thank you very much for that. There were a lot of challenges when trying to set up this program. For starters, I did have to wear my red volunteer shirt when walking around trying to recruit participants. And generally, patients will respect doctors. You know, the person in the white coat with the stethoscope around their neck, or possibly the nurse who they become friends with, who keeps administering their medications, talking to their family members. You know, just they're so familiar with that. Right. So when a random volunteer, you know, a little 19-year-old in in khaki pants shows up to your door and asks you to steal 30 minutes of your family member's time, mm-hmm. you're not going to say yes.
Right.
You're going to be like, who is this person? Who sent you? So all these questions. And typically I got many no's from family members when I asked them to participate in the study. And that was very difficult. So it involved a lot of communication with the head nurse, who was never there because they're so busy on the cardiac unit because they get so many patients, as well as the doctor who kind of had the grant money to fund all of this, which was also really important to keeping it free for the public. So after many meetings with them, I could finally advertise it not only to the public but to the staff so that I could start walking in with nurses who'd be okay with me walking in with patients. They would introduce me, and then I would therefore have more credibility.
Right.
And then I started to get more yes response rates, and my study started to go.
I guess that's kind of like also like a success story. You were kind of struggling at the beginning, and then you were able to come up with solutions to it on the while you were developing this project. How did this like experience, like overcoming these hurdles, how did it change you for the better, kind of made you a leader or made you a better leader? And how do you think this is going to help you continue this project and make it better or larger in the future?
That's a great question. I learned a lot about my limits in the position that I'm in currently.
Right.
Because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I haven't been to med school yet. There's so much I don't know, and therefore there's that much respect I have yet to gain if I want to go out and start doing all these studies. So just keeping that in mind was something that was very, it was new for me to have like all this authority before me and having to actually step down and recognize that. Because in the medical world, you have patients who are going to listen to doctors, the people with more experience, over people who kind of walk in and they have a slight interest. And in that sense, I think it's made me a better leader because I've learned to kind of step back and seek help where I need to, especially in the hands of people who have that authority and that respect. And when they start backing you, that's when change can actually happen.
That's amazing that your experiences led you to reflect and compare the position, not just your position, but I feel like a lot of people who are not or do not have that credibility yet working in healthcare, students especially, it's tough, but you were able to compare that and actually overcome the limitations that students always face. I have a kind of an open-ended question, because ultimately there are other students, especially our listeners, that do not have the same opportunity that you had this summer. A lot of people are very passionate about becoming involved, and CPR is teaching. Just the idea of being able to teach a community or your hometown is amazing. But how do you recommend that other students get involved, or at least if they don't have the same opportunities, or they don't have like the same institutions in their area, like how do you what do you recommend that these students do to become involved?
That's a great question. So I will start off by saying I'm not the type of person who really enjoys doing research. So what I started to do is I kind of looked for things that interested me, certifications that I thought would be cool to, you know, have. So I went and got those certifications and I kind of looked around and, you know, you don't have to look at just UConn if you want to pursue research. You can go into other hospitals or other healthcare organizations near your community or even near UConn. And once you delve into those, start to talk to people, start to see what you're interested in, and take your certifications to your advantage, right? So start talking to people and say, hey, I have XYZ, and they will then help you out. And through that, you can start to create your own project that you're actually interested in. And before you know it, you have research.
Thank you. Thank you again for sharing that. I believe that a lot of people listening will really appreciate that advice. UConn does not have to be the only way to be able to lead and help a community. You could go, and your story, you went back to your hometown and you induced change, and that's truly phenomenal. Thank you again, Ajitha, for sharing your story with us. We really appreciate it. We will put your details below so that anyone that wants to reach out or learn more about your CPR initiative will be able to.
Certainly.
Thank you again. We'll be back next week with a new story. This is the UConn Honors Podcast.